Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
We are unfortunately live today. Sean, I can't believe this. I'm hurt. I gotta take my Yankee thing off and throw it on the ground. Throw it on here on the table. Things going the wrong way on the wrong side of town in New York, and I ain't liking it right now. I want to see how you're doing, but you're probably just as bad as me. How you feeling, Sean?
It's 2014 all over again for me, SB.
What happened in 2014?
LeBron went back to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's that pain right there.
Yeah, it was more disappointing than anger. But obviously, you know, it was like, well, we got 4 years, and I'm grateful for the 4 years, but it felt like it went by too fast. Mm-hmm. And this season went by really fast, and I thought, okay, yeah, you know, there's a good chance that I think he'll be back after the run, and it seemed like he got along well in the clubhouse, and Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone. And
how do you like put this on your body? He clearly was feeling it because he didn't leave New York, but how could you just put this logo, this blue, on you? And then put on that other blue, man. It's not even like a good looking blue. It's like some McDonald's colorway type blue, man. It's if you don't know why me and Sean are stressed, first of all, salute to the chat. Salute Tiff. Salute Golden. Salute G Money. Salute my brother Bang in the building. Salute Bang. Salute Tiff. Golden. G Money. Me and Sean hurt because Juan Soto has agreed for a record-breaking match. If this baseball money is getting insane, we're going to have to – hey, look, at this point, if you all got kids who play sports, tell them to pick up that bet. Hey, tell them to pick up that bet. You don't even got – you just got to hit it 3 times out of 10. Dion said all the time, look, man, you hit it 3 times out of 10, you look like elite in the league. So tell yourself, pick up that bet. But Juan Soto has agreed to a 15-year, $765 million contract, sir. To the Mets. The Yankees was close to the deal. They offered them $760 million. So I'm like,
over 16 years.
Over 16 years. Yes. So it's like you still kind of got the same amount of money that you wanted. $5 million, a little bit less, but I feel like $5 million is a lot of money. Anybody be happy? I'd be happy to touch $5 million. But when you at the ballpark, you getting $700 some million. That five, come on, man. And whatever five million that you would have like missed out on this contract, you wearing that Yankee jersey for 10+ years. Oh, you would have quadrupled that. You would have quadrupled that. But I'm hurt off this, Sean. I'm hurt.
Let me say two things, SB. Obviously, Scott Boras being the agent for Juan Soto, he was always going to go for the biggest check. Mm-hmm. He was always going to go for the biggest check. That's what Scott Boras does for his agents, right? Mm-hmm. 24 years ago, when Alex Rodriguez was a free agent, leaving Seattle. It was pretty clear he was going to leave Seattle. Mm-hmm. There were some teams that wanted him. The Mets were one of the teams that wanted him. But apparently one of the reasons why the Mets didn't sign him was because Scott Boras had like this laundry list of things that he wanted in addition to the biggest contract in baseball history at the time, like access to a private jet and I think his own suite at the stadium. And it was on some like Russell Wilson in Denver. it was insane. Some of the stuff he wanted his own marketing team, you know, and all. I mean, it was just a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. That was 10 years, $252 million. A lot of people thought that's an insane amount of money. Obviously, he ended up signing with the Texas Rangers. Mm-hmm. And then the Rangers realized, hey, we spent a lot of money on Alex Rodriguez, and we can't compete like this. And so they ended up obviously trading him, tried to trade him to Boston, but Boston wanted him to rework his deal. Major League Baseball Players Association said, no, you can't do that. We don't want to set that precedent of guys reworking their deal. And then obviously, you know, he ended up being traded to the Yankees, and the rest is history. So was I surprised Soto went for the biggest buck?
No,
because Scott Boras was his agent, and that's what Scott Boras does. I was a little surprised that he left the Yankees and didn't go to, say, the Dodgers, because again, ultimately, all the money in the world won't buy you wins.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, he's won a World Series. He won a World Series in 2019 with the Nationals, which seems mm-hmm. like an eternity ago.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's at this Kawhi point in his career where it's like, I've already won. You know, so winning isn't necessarily the most important thing to me. And if he gets up at the press conference and says, I did this because of winning, you're lying.
I mean, they was almost at the World Series, so he could get away free card.
To be very clear, they had a really fortunate run. They had some fortunate things break their way. Because the truth is, they weren't better than the Dodgers, obviously. I'm not sure they were better than the Phillies. And I don't think they're better than a healthy Braves team. And no, the Phillies and the Braves are in their division.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even guaranteed you're going to get out of your division. And the Dodgers are in the National League, which means you got to go through them to get to the World Series for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yes.
So to me, this move wasn't about winning in terms of on the field. This was about my bank account.
Even Prime saying this on must be the money. I mean, he got 765 million reasons why it should be about the money. And then also it's crazy that it's the Mets who signed this contract. You sent me the video for the, hold on, I want to say the exact title of the video. Where is the link that you sent me right here about this other Mets player? What's his name? Bobby Bonilla. Yeah. And then it's crazy that he with the Mets, he's still getting paid. Soto deal is going to end 2039. Bobby's deal is going to end 2035. So he's still going to be paying his tax. And hey, look, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if the Mets do it again. And look, it's going to be like 5 years from now. Next thing you know, it's going to be Juan Soto day to 2070.
And I got to say this, right? This is a great deal for an individual player.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is the greatest deal for baseball. In that, the small market teams can't compete with this. And I'll give you an example. $765 million for the total of the deal. The Pittsburgh Pirates, in the last 10 years, that's what they spent combined for their payroll.
Jeez. And it's on one player.
And this is on one guy. And this is largely proven that you can't just spend on one guy. And I know they have Lindor, and I'm not saying Lindor is not a really good player. But you can't generally spend this amount on one guy unless you're the Dodgers or the Yankees. And again, that means you're spending on multiple guys and be competitive. I think the question for the Mets, and again, I've heard a lot over the last 20 or 20 plus hours about why and blah, blah, blah. It always comes down to the money.
Yeah.
And there was a story out about apparently Soto had an issue with some of the security at the stadium that removed one of his parents early in the season. And then they did the same thing to his personal chef later on. And my thing was, okay, if that happened, was that addressed by the organization internally? Uh-huh. Or did the organization know about it?
How we handled it.
How did they handle it? So if that's part of the reason why you left, and you know, because he's a big family guy, I'm going to give him a little bit of a reprieve on that. But as you said, SB, guys don't generally leave the Yankees, particularly when the Yankees want you and the Yankees are willing to pony up. And there was a lot of questions about how Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman in the front office and whether or not they would pony up for this particular deal. They did. So as a Yankee fan, I haven't met a single Yankee fan that has said a bad thing about how Steinbrenner or what the Yankees did. This was all about Scott Boras doing what he does for his clients, which is we're going to get you the biggest check. We're going to create a bidding war among these teams, and we're going to get you the biggest check possible. And the other reason why I was really surprised that he did with the Mets is because the Mets go through these little phases where, yeah, they'll spend, and then it's like, no, we can't spend now. We spent too much. We can't spend. Have a new owner who seems to be willing to spend whatever it takes. But even ask Golden State, ask Steve Ballmer of the Clippers. At a certain point, you're going to say, okay, yeah, we can't spend anymore. We're not going to spend anymore. It'll catch up. So, you know, I think this all came down to the money. And officially, I'm rooting for the Phillies, the Marlins, the Braves, and the Nationals in that division. I hope they smack fire out of the Mets, personally, because that's where I am.
I'm on that side of the fence. Once you cross that line, you on the other side, and it is what it is. Because I like Soto, but at the end of the day, once you put the Mets jersey on, and I know we talked about it last show, and I know it's just like I can accept this one because same thing, like I said last show, I can accept this one because of the fact of like if I know you going to the Mets, you just chasing a bag. And I'm not mad at you, young man. Get your bag. But nobody leaves to go to the little brother team. Like, nobody in no sport. Like, nobody leave the Knicks to go play for the Nets. Nobody leave the Lakers to go play for the Clippers. No matter how, like, and a bag got to be, like, egregiously larger than the next bag. But not if, like, hey, I'm going to leave the Lakers. They want to give me a five-year 300, but I'm going to go to the Clippers because they gave me a 4-year 300 and like five. Like, nah, nobody do that. It's like because any that little $5 million that you're missing out on, I'm saying it nicely, but little five because $5 million is a lot. He's gonna get that back with the Yankees. He's gonna make more money, be more popular with the Yankees than he would have been with the Mets. Go ahead, Sean.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
But also to double back on it, Rex Ryan suggests, former coach of the Jets, NFL guy, suggests that Juan Soto only signed with the Mets due to the pressure of the MLBPA, Major League Baseball Players Association. Now, I can say this about the Major League Baseball Players Association. It's one of the better ones because at least they try to do something to at least get their players paid. We can argue about which one's the worst in the NFL, but that's a different story for a different day. We could definitely have that conversation to argue who got the worst player association. Do you agree or disagree with this? I can't see this because that this being true that the MLB forces players to go get the biggest bag or peer pressure them to get the biggest bag because I just seen Judge take less money to stay with the Yankees. Like, we've seen baseball players take less money to stay with certain teams. So I kind of disagree with him on this.
Yeah, I think this, to put it on the MLBPA, I think it's a little misguided. I understood his point because, again, you mentioned earlier, first of all, the worst players association is the NFL, and it's not even close. They're the worst. But that said, MLBPA, they are very much player-centered, player-friendly. They are about the player. They are not about the teams in that way. So there's a certain, to a certain degree, Rex Ryan and what he is saying has some truth, but I don't think it's a total truth. The truth is that Scott Boras is, for a lot of folks in baseball, the most hated man in baseball, but not for his clients, generally speaking. Now, some of his clients have fired him because he is someone who, again, he will take you to the 25th hour in terms of signing, right? That's generally what he likes to do. He did it last summer where, or last, excuse me, not last offseason, where he literally dragged it out where some of their, some of his clients did not get signed.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Still spring training. When you're signing massive deals, that generally doesn't happen. Normally, it's going to happen by the winter meetings. Mm-hmm. So the issue to me is Scott Boras, who's doing his job by representing his clients, but it's a bigger issue for baseball. And the bigger issue for baseball is it's not like the NBA where you draft a player, you trade, or you trade for a player, you have that player's bird rights, you're able to essentially pay that player any amount regardless of market, because that's how important it is in the NBA. It doesn't necessarily exist like that in Major League Baseball. You've seen the movie Moneyball, SB?
Yeah, I see Moneyball.
Right.
Right now, Kyle, I don't want to see you or that MS logo right now.
Yeah. Block yourself, Cottage. Yeah. So what it is the system is the small market teams have to do business a different way. They're only able to pay big name players, big name stars up to a certain point, and they know good and well that there are certain teams and certain markets that just have the ability to spend more money because of the markets they're in and because of what they're getting from their local media rights deal comparative to the small market teams. So that's really what it comes down to. It's the business of baseball isn't necessarily great for keeping big name stars in smaller markets.
The only reason why I'm gonna play devil's advocate on this and push back, I think the only reason why the MLB is cool with this and keep pushing it because they want the major market teams to stick out, because it has been like a growing concern that the MLB has been like losing like the youth fan base. So they I think they're trying to think for future wise. Maybe if they like, all right, let's get all the big market teams up to get more people to lock in. Obviously, the Yankees versus the Dodgers was big for the World Series. I think it wouldn't have hit no better when it comes to viewership if it wasn't those two teams there. So that's why I think maybe they're not concerned about it. But also, like you said, longevity wise, it kind of would help to balance it out a little bit. But also, we just talked about the NBA ratings being down, and there is balance. But why the NBA ratings down right now? The Lakers not good. You know, I ain't tooting my own horn with my Bulls, but the Bulls got a popular fan base. The Bulls not good. The Knicks back in action. So I think like those major markets being good or relevant it is somewhat important. And I also do think that I ain't saying the NBA just don't stack the deck with teams, but I think it would be kind of more beneficial that you still kind of prioritize like the major market, because that's what like the major market was meant for. Like major market's supposed to grab all the stars. The small market was supposed to build the right way and get players. I think that's the only thing I think the MLB is doing while they still coasting with this, because I do think long term, because how long before we see the $1 billion contract? Because it's gonna be coming next.
I mean, it's on the horizon. I mean, if you think about it, SB, we just saw in the last 2 years two $700 million contracts. I think you're going to see a $1 billion contract in baseball in probably easily the next 7 to 10 years. Easily.
What you going to do? How can somebody like afford that? You a $1 billion man on a contract? That's crazy.
Well, I mean, it's if you think about the way these franchise values appreciate, it's not really all that crazy, right? The Mets, everybody's looking at the $765 million. First of all, it's over 15 years. It's all going to be within that 15 years. None of the money is deferred like Shohei Ohtani. So Shohei Ohtani actually, because he has a shorter deal, because his is only 10 years for $700 million, but we know $680 million that is deferred. A portion of that money is going into an escrow account every year. I think they have to put at least $44 million a year over the next 10 years into that escrow account. But he's still going to get paid that entire amount of money. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And this is where, and I don't want to go too deep because this gets a little interesting, crazy. Okay. One of the benefits of him deferring the money is deferred money, when it's finally paid out, is not paid out from a tax perspective based on where you got paid. It gets paid out based on where you live. So you brought up Bobby Bonilla earlier. He's not, that money that he gets every year from the Mets is not being taxed in New York because he lives in Florida.
Oh, we.
There's no state income tax in Florida, so he's actually collecting more. So hypothetically, Shohei Ohtani could see like almost $90 million more if he moves somewhere post-career where he's not paying any income tax.
Look, I'll be looking up right now. What's the place that has the least taxes or anything or no taxes?
The key is be somewhere where there's no state income tax.
Well, he's going to be down in Texas or Florida somewhere. In
Texas, Florida, Arizona. Like that's the key.
And you don't even have to live there. Your address has to be there. Hey, look, I'm just at my vacation house in LA right now. But yeah.
And I think the rule is you have to have at least 6 months and 1 day residence in that location or something like that. I don't want to go deep into the IRS, but the point is that he could end up seeing more of that money. Because of where he ends up living post his career. And that, again, that assumes that this 10-year contract will be the end of his career, because I don't think it will. I think he's going to sign another deal to continue playing potentially well into, you know, his 40s.
Now, Sean, the big question for our side perspective, though, because have the Yankees lost the Yankee way? Like, when it comes to this is our market. This is our style. This is how we built the teams. You walk in the office, you leaving out with the pinstripe on. You leaving out with the blue on, the good blue, not that orange and blue, the good blue. What's going on? We don't lose for it. We lost them to the Mets, Dodgers. You know, we can like, it is the Dodgers, but it's like, what's going on, Sean? We lost a top tier free agent to the Mets.
I don't want to say the Yankees have lost the Yankee way, right? I think there were big questions since George Steinbrenner passed away, and obviously Hal Steinbrenner's taken over as, you know, controlling partner of the team, how much the team would spend. He has shown a willingness to spend, but he also has been a little more, a little more strategic than maybe his father was when it came to spending.
Okay.
George Steinbrenner, when you don't win, he's going to spend. No, there's no check big enough I can write because we're going for this thing every single year. Hal's a little different. Not that they don't want to go for it, but it's just going to be a little more strategic.
Yeah.
Have the Yankees lost the Yankee way? No. The reality is that they had a guy who did not come up in the Yankee system, only played for the Yankees for a year, had no real tie to the Yankees except for playing for the Yankees that one year. And again, Kawhi Leonard in 2019.
Yeah.
And he has the opportunity to test the market, which he said he was going to do because it was his first time getting a chance to test the market as a free agent, mm-hmm. which is his right, which is every player's right. And I'm not mad with that. And the Yankees did what they thought they could to retain him, and he decided to go someplace else. So I don't think the Yankees have lost the Yankee way. I just believe that this is the nature of the business, and people aren't used to the Yankees losing guys that they generally want to keep. So, no, I don't think the Yankee way is lost. I think the Yankee way is still the Yankee way. The expectation is still to go out and compete and get to the World Series and win another championship. But you can only do so much.
I don't like us losing free agents. It don't feel right. It don't feel right. That's not what we get them done. You walk, we sign them back. We get it done. I don't like this. You gotta lock in. We gotta get somebody. That's the way I can feel better, man. Go sign somebody. I don't know, find a name, trade for somebody, do something. I need to feel better.
You ever seen the movie
Players Club, people in the scene with the guy in the wheelchair? I feel like that right now, man. Do something make me feel better. I'm upset right now. So we have to make something happen.
To quote another Ice Cube movie, you know, you can lead the water, but you can't make them think. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, you know, you couldn't make them sign it. You put the offer out there, you say, hey, listen, we're willing to negotiate. It was very clear the Yankees were willing to negotiate. But they also had a limit, and they went really well above what they thought they were going to go. You know, $50 million a year for one guy is a lot of money, particularly when your MVP is making $40 million a year. That said, they realized they had a special talent in Juan Soto, and they wanted to keep him. They did what they thought they could to keep him. He decided to go elsewhere, and now, you know, I wish him the worst.
Sean, we got to go into another topic because we have a record-breaking moment in the NBA. Chris Paul has surpassed Jason Kidd to take second as the NBA all-time assist leader. He has 12,092 dimes. That's a lot of dimes. That is a lot of dimes. First of all, let's just congratulate Chris Paul for getting his accomplishment. What is this like rank for PG to be second all time in assists, right behind John Stockton? And don't get me wrong, John Stockton got a whole 15 bands. I don't think he catches John.
I think John Stockton had 15,269. Is that the number?
15,806.
Okay. So, and here's the interesting thing about John Stockton, SB, while we're saying it, he didn't start his first 3 years in the NBA.
Yeah, that's.
So imagine if he had started his first 3 years in the NBA. You know, we could be talking about close to 20,000 assists.
Might have been 20 bands assists. Yeah. Jeez.
No, I think what it is, SB, is it's a testament to Chris Paul's longevity. But also I think it's definitely even a greater testament to wherever he goes and wherever he's been in his career, they've largely allowed him to play point guard the way Chris Paul plays point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it says, is that when you have a talent like that, and Chris Paul's a talent. Chris Paul, I've always said Chris Paul to me is the closest thing to John Stockton in terms of just the way he runs a team. And, you know, it's not apples to apples, but just in terms of, you know, his mentality, his grit, his toughness, but also just that his smarts on the basketball floor is right up there. I mean, we talk about basketball IQ. We obviously mentioned Bron and Joker. Chris Paul is right there. And, you know, and you know, that it's an amazing, amazing accomplishment. I don't know. This is year 18. Year 20 for Chris Paul. I don't know how much longer he's going to play. I know it sounds crazy to say.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, Chris Paul on year 22?
Yeah, this is year 20 for him. Yeah. Yeah, so because remember, he came in 2005.
Yeah, wow. So, bro, we can,
you know, bro. So that said, I think it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, if this is his last year or, you know, what else he's able to accomplish in, you know, in the final stages of his career. But certainly, this is an amazing, amazing accomplishment. And again, the longevity and the ability to still play at this age and at this level. Yeah, I know. Is amazing. I mean, he's only a few months younger than LeBron, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think it's an amazing, amazing thing, SB. But I want to hear your thoughts on it.
I think this accomplishment is outstanding. This shows the wittiness, the IQ of Chris Paul, the passing ability of Chris Paul, showing that he's one of the greatest passers of all time. And even I know a lot of people get mad, but it's going to come to stats. Saying stats don't tell all. Chris Paul, this is, will tell you that Chris Paul is one of the best passers of all time. He's up there. When you say, hey, who is some of the greatest passers, you could definitely put Chris Paul in that conversation. He's great at passing that basketball. IQ speaks a lot when it comes to Chris Paul, and this stat shows that too, because he's always has been a secondary extension of the coach. I have never seen a guy who runs the point guard the traditional way, can have star impact, and everybody he gets with looks better. DeAndre Jordan made an all-star team because of Chris Paul. David West has had some of his best numbers playing with Chris Paul. Blake Griffin took off to superstardom playing with Chris Paul.
Tyson Chandler.
That's what started that throwing lock. He was everybody in Chicago, which we didn't do a good job with Tyson Chandler. Sorry about that, Tyson. We didn't do a good job with Tyson. He goes there, play with Chris Paul, changed a whole different dynamic. Peja Stojakovic coming, you know, had shooters like that. He looks good with Chris Paul. Goes to the OKC Thunder, where they sent him where his career to die, him and Shea. And what they do, make a late playoff, make a playoff run. Lost the first round, but nobody expected them to be in the playoffs. And that helped boost SGA to what we see him at now. So you get, a lot of people have, we just see, people talk. Even Chris Paul had that speech where he's like, yeah, you know, I'm annoying. You know, a lot of people don't like Chris Paul. He's not for the fame, the heart, and everybody tastes. But you cannot deny his skill set, his leadership, his IQ. I wouldn't be surprised if Chris Paul will be a coach one day. I don't know if his attitude will make him last as a coach, but I think he has the IQ to do it. But no, I think this accomplishment is outstanding.
Let me ask you something, SB, just for fun. Who is the NFL quarterback equivalent to Chris Paul? Somebody currently playing or somebody from yesteryear. Who is the NFL quarterback equivalent to Chris Paul?
The NFL quarterback. Because you got to think high IQ. You got to have a high IQ. Gets the only thing that Chris Paul did win, but high IQ. Put the ball in the right places when it comes to passing. Extension of the coach. Know how to audible out everything. I would say Peyton, but he just didn't win. I'm going to say Peyton. He had because the IQ. If it ain't Peyton, because I want to say your boy, but Drew kind of was explosive when he with the Saints, though. But Drew IQ was crazy. Who you thinking?
Peyton Manning was the first one that came to mind.
Great man.
Honestly.
You got to be high IQ quarterbacks.
You got to be high IQ. And also the demand on the teammates to have as high an IQ as you. You know, you can't just be good. You got to be smart and really smart. And we have to see it the same way. So, yeah, it was Peyton Manning was the first one that came to mind just in more recent history. I was trying to think of somebody from yesteryear. There's a couple guys that come to mind, but
Peyton
Manning would probably be the one.
Payback. So, you know, and also when you come to these accolades, I know you like doing tier, but when we get to the point of talking about, forget ranking all time, but when you talk about point guards, what type of conversation is we talk about and with Chris Paul? Top 10, 15-ish, 5?
I wouldn't do top numbers. You know, for me, I put him in tiers.
Oh, tiers. Well, what tier?
I would say he's a tier 2 point guard all time. I would have him in the same tier of, you know, Jason Kidd and Stockton and Chris Paul would be, you know, right there. A couple other guys would be there, but he would be definitely tier 2.
That's all I'm going to agree with. I agree that Jason Kidd tier 1 for me. I'm sorry. It's Jason Kidd. In that tier one. Who your tier one PGs? If I get, I know Magic, Steph, Isaiah.
Magic, Steph, and Oscar. Yeah. It's Isaiah is kind of right there on the border for me. The reason why I don't have him and nothing to get in that, Isaiah's probably the best, maybe the best player, but maybe the best point guard, definitely, who never won an MVP.
Yeah.
Those guys won MVPs. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Now, when you say those three names, Oscar, Steph, Magic, okay, I would be mad if you left Kidd out of that top
one.
But Kidd right there, too. I feel like right under that cuss, too. Because, like you said, the other extra awards matter. I know Kidd won late in his career, but I do value the fact of, like, that Nets run he had.
The Nets run was insane. Like, he was – I mean, you're talking about, like – lifting a team,
man.
Yeah, it was a different. He was at a different point of his career there. Now, the coach killer thing is a little bit of a all time great point guard. Can't take it away from him.
Same thing with Chris too, because Chris, I would say Chris was a coach killer. He's more, I wouldn't say locker room killer. He's just that annoying guy. Because some people, either you love Chris or you hate Chris, but no matter if you love or hate him, he gonna make it happen with you on the court. Because even when I heard like him and Blake wasn't kind of like seeing eye to eye, you can't tell when that lob was in the air.
No, but it's just that overly demanding guy and the competitive spirit of Chris Paul could never be questioned. The methods I think could be, but I don't think you could question the spirit of what Chris Paul wanted to do. And again, if this is his last year, you know. It's going to be, you know, a real conversation again about where he is in that pantheon.
But because obviously he was second all time in assists. I got this next segment going to be something about that. But I asked this one question. Now I'm thinking about it. Where does Chris Paul get his like jersey retired at? Because he kind of was like a journeyman and had good solid points. Also, has the player mobility? Because people not thinking about this like the player mobility thing, like you moving around here and there, but where's like your legacy like placed at? Like LeBron, fine. You know, LeBron did what he supposed to do, but this is like LeBron is like one of the greatest. Like even people confuse like that with Kevin Durant. And I think like with the Warriors run, he getting it because, you know, he hurt his leg in the finals.
Right.
But like, yeah, being a journeyman is not going to be good for a lot of people when it comes to the end, because now it's like, where is your legacy going to be cemented? You see, we already get full sight of with Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, I think for me, the one place I would say you would see probably his jersey retired is the Clippers. I don't see it happening in New Orleans. I mean, I think it would have to take some real...
I mean, he did a lot off the floor with the OKC, with the Hurricane. So,
and it's the Hornets organization, right? I'm speaking about the Hornets organization. That he was kind of, when they made that move from Charlotte to New Orleans because of the owner being a jerk, that he was kind of the first guy they had where you said, okay, this is officially a New Orleans franchise. And again, they were displaced because of Hurricane Katrina, ended up playing in Oklahoma City, you know, for a couple of years or whatever. I don't think he left the organization badly. It's not Anthony Davis bad, but certainly it wasn't the greatest situation when he ended up leaving. But I would say definitely the Clippers would probably be the one place where I'd say he stamped his mark, made his mark there enough that you'll probably see his jersey hanging in the rafters there at some point.
Now, obviously, 12,000 assists is a lot being second on the list.
Yes.
I want to know for you, Sean, how you feel, because it has been it don't matter where the argument stems from. You could probably put two and two together. You could probably put two and three together where these arguments stem from. No pun intended on the two and the three. The true value of total stats, like obviously him being second all-time on assists is big. Mm-hmm. So, Sean, to you, what is the total stats rank to you, and what is like the true value of like the your total stats, your total career stats?
So you brought the caveat is career, because if you talk about season stats, that's a different conversation for me versus career stats.
Career.
For okay. Sure. So career stats, I mean, obviously you talk about longevity, you talk about health, you talk about sustainability at a certain competitive level. When you talk about all-time greats and all-time stats, LeBron obviously is probably the poster child for that right now.
And before him, it was Kareem.
I would say LeBron, Kareem, and I would say Duncan. There. Mm-hmm. Those would be the three guys, because those three guys never really dealt with major injury where they missed a lot of time during the regular season. Stockton is there, you know, from the assistant, from the steals perspective. He never missed games. I think he only missed probably like eight games in his entire career or something like that. So whenever you talk about the value of total stats, I think they have to be spoken about in the context of that player's availability throughout a very long career and their consistency throughout that very long career. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's some things – heard someone use the term, some guys know how to get hurt. And what I mean by that is some guys know how to twist an ankle and not miss any time or miss major time. Some guys twist an ankle, you know, and depending on the type of ankle sprain it is or whatever, they could be out two games or they could be out 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, there's a lot of things there. I think there's value in total stats, but I think there's always got to be some level of context when you talk about the value of total stats. But I want to say one thing, and I know we're going to switch here in a moment. The NFL is going to be a great example of this, right? Saquon Barkley is on pace to break the NFL rushing record for a season.
Yeah.
The context is that he's got 17 games to do it. The previous record holder, Eric Dickerson, did it in 16 games. But, and I think I've said this to you before, SB, the true record holder for me is O.J. Simpson.
Right.
Because he got 2,003 yards in 14 games.
Which is crazy. I ain't
gonna so, lie. So when you look at the value of total stats from that perspective, to me, the value should not be the total yardage. The value should be the per game yardage numbers. That is the litmus for the best season all time, not the total numbers, because again, you go from 12 to 14 to 16 and now 17, and eventually you're going to see 18 regular season games in the NFL, which is crazy, but you're going to see it. The numbers are going to explode. And so is it going to be the season, or is it going to be the per game numbers that really is the true delineator of how great a season was? And that to me is what I think we have to be very, very honest about at some point.
Yeah. And I do think if we do look at like when it comes to like the true stat, true value of like the total stat thing, I do agree that we got to start adding context to the situation where when we add in context to the situation for, like you said, how many games it took for you to get something, or what if something else added to it? Because some players didn't have that luxury during that time. Like Lou, I want to put it back on the screen. Where did it go? OJ was averaging like 170. So imagine what his stats would have been.
It was 143.1, but yeah.
But around, I'm saying around that type of number. So imagine if he had what, three more games. What do you think his numbers would have been?
I mean, it would be over 2,500 yards easily.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. So I mean, like, yeah. I think it's, you know, so I think that's where it's like the value of total stats. It's I don't want to browbeat this point. When I mentioned the number, the 15,269, that's Barry Sanders. So Barry Sanders' career rushing yards, 15,269. Mm-hmm. He did that in 10 seasons. Emmitt Smith has over 18,000 career yards, but Emmitt Smith played more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
A few more seasons. So what's the better career?
Probably Barry's. Maybe. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. Maybe, I mean, Barry, it depends on what you value. Do you value that he played longer?
Right. Because
Barry did leave. So right. It's like the total. So you said the total stat pretty much depends on like how long you played, right, or how quick you did. So it's like, do you value how long that you played and how long productive when you played, or was you ultra productive in a short period of time?
Right. So that's where it comes down to is, and again, we know Barry Sanders walked away. It wasn't that Barry Sanders got hurt. He just walked away.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you played with the Lions, I walked.
You run away.
Now people forget about that. They are like, what, 12-1? 11-1 right now?
Yeah, 12-1. Yeah. So I think that's where, again, when you talk about the value of total stats, the value of total stats isn't invaluable as long as there's context with why the numbers are what they are. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, has to be talked about more versus just, this person's got 36,000 points. Karl Malone has 36,000 points. He's the third all-time leading scorer by total points.
But nobody put him in a great score conversation.
Right.
John Stockton got the most assists, but nobody said he's the best passer either, too.
Right.
So it just like teach us all. But we gotta go ahead, and wrap up a couple of little stories. I know the NFL game is coming on. I know you guys are in the great watch the NFL game. Adam Silver discussing an NBA-owned league in Europe. Sean, I instantly seen this headline. And I was like, yeah, the NFL took our Christmas Day game. So, yeah, we're just going to go bully up on Europe and take a spot. I don't see the point of it. It's already a lot of different Euro leagues. I know they got the NBA in Africa. Shout out to them for doing that. I was like, what is this going to be like, the league where, like, all the old NBA players go and the guys who just they make the team going to go? Maybe. I don't know. What's going to be like London? Where is this team going to be at? Where's the location? Where cities are they going to be? Who playing? And when do you schedule this league? In the summertime? Oh, man, WNBA, there go y'all views. Out the door right there.
Yeah, so here's the interesting thing, SB, and this is where I think when you look at, obviously, 25% of the NBA are international players.
Yep.
And obviously quite a few of them are having great success. You know, the weekend Joker just had statistically was insane. Mm-hmm. Right. I think the NBA, thinking about the long-term viability of the NBA, not just here, but also globally, mm-hmm. is going to look at any possible way to integrate itself into the European market. Now, this is where it gets interesting. For me, is this going to be an academy-style league? I.e. guys can sign as professionals at 12, 13, 14 years old,
mm-hmm.
be in school, but be professional athletes. Is it going to be that style, or is it going to be comparative to the NBA, the current NBA that we have here in North America? So that is what I'll be looking for from that perspective. I think it's obviously very, very early.
Mm-hmm.
The EuroLeague and FIBA, they're always looking for innovation, right? They're really big on that. And even Adam Silver discussed this summer during the Olympics, they were looking to partner with FIBA, you know, potentially.
Best.
Again, my question is, what is the league going to look like? Is it going to be very similar to the EuroLeagues in terms of the academy style system, or is it going to be like the current NBA?
And I see why I see this conversation, because the Secretary General is I thought it said the Julius of Galaxy. I was like, wait a minute. I mean, he's a former NBA player. No wonder why he's trying to settle it, but now that's somebody else. But only thing is, okay, what if, I'm just saying, what if this EuroLeague is paid just as much as the NBA or a decent amount close to it? What if you start losing some players in the league? I mean, I'm just saying, Jokic do like his horses. A team not too far from Serbia. And that's a short of that from Denver. You already know, but that's a short of playing around. Now you got Jokic on a team in the Euro League, and he's still making the same amount of money. But I don't know. I'm CL, but let us know what you guys think about that. Next up story is Bill Belichick is very surprised that he hasn't heard from any NFL teams. Sean, are you surprised that Bill Belichick hasn't heard from any NFL teams?
Not really. I don't think most of these teams are going to, particularly teams with openings. And when I say openings, mm-hmm. teams that have interim head coaches, and we know three do right now.
Yes.
They're not going to start talking to potential coaching candidates until the season is completed for them.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing as none of them are playoff teams, the season will be over very soon.
Yes.
So my guess is that, you know, he'll, you know, may get a call or two, you know, from those teams, depending on, you know, what their coaching searches look like, whether or not they hire a coaching firm, a coaching search firm, or, you know, or they, you know, are conducting an in-house search in terms of the GM or someone in the front office leading the search. But also, SB, I do think it is a little telling that, again, he only had really one team last year show interest in him, and that was Atlanta. I think it was the only team he interviewed with twice. Mm-hmm. None of the other openings even, you know, called him in that way. So is there some sense that the game of football has not passed Bill Belichick? Why? That's mm-hmm. not it at all. I just think these organizations are trying to find a long-term solution. Mm-hmm. And while we don't play ageism and, you know, age ain't nothing but a number.
Mm-hmm.
From a organizational building perspective, you do tend to want to go with someone who's probably got a little more longevity over someone like Bill Belichick. Now, that's not to say if you hire Bill Belichick as an organization, I think there will be teams that will consider it. In my humble opinion, I think you have to have a coach in waiting on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots and Robert Kraft has talked about that they identified Gerard Mayo several years ago as a potential head coach for them, and that's why he got the job, because they had already mm-hmm. identified that, knowing that, you know, Bill wasn't going to coach forever. So I think that's mm-hmm. kind of got to be the model if you go after a Bill Belichick. Now, will Bill Belichick be okay with that? Would a Pete Carroll be okay with that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I'm just thinking organizationally is something that they may have to consider. We got teams that do quarterbacks in waiting. Why not mm-hmm. have waiting?
And then I don't want Bill, because Bill's in the conversation as one of the greatest coaches, not the greatest NFL coach. You kind of want to ruin your legacy with a second run. Like, I think, like, sell off into the sunset if you have to, because then it's like, what do you have to prove? I know that Brady went with Adam thing, because – We done heard stories about Belichick. You think Belichick is all calm. Belichick got an ego over that too. So I think maybe that Brady leaving and winning thing kind of like probably boosted a little extra fire in him, maybe to try again or want to get back in the league. But no, I think Bill done enough where he don't really have nothing else to prove. So it'd be like him coming out. It's just like, I just want to coach. I would rather see him like, I would want him to do like the Pat Riley thing. Like, I would want him to be in an office and not on the field no more. That's what he should be doing. But Bill just can't help himself with being on that field. He can't help it.
That, and also, as we don't discount the fact he wants to pass Don Shula.
Oh, that too. Yes. Yeah, that too.
So, you know.
How many wins he need?
I think it's 15 more or something like that. So, you know, so you're talking probably two good seasons. You know, to do it.
You see who got jobs available. You'll need like 3 or 4.
No, I said good seasons, meaning your team has to be good to do it. Like, you can't suck. because you'll be there for 10 years trying to get those 15
he
wins.
Take that Bears job, then that's the only way he's gonna get close. Take that Bears job.
Yeah,
we'll see. But also tonight, Sean, in about a couple minutes, we got the Bengals versus the Cowboys. What is your preview for this stank fest that we're about to see on this field?
So I'll be watching the game on Disney Plus because of the Simpsons. They're doing the Simpsons cast, kind of similar to the Toy Story they did last year with the Falcons and Jaguars. Just because I want to see, I think it looks cool. And I don't.
That's really the only way that game would be entertaining.
I don't care about the game either way. But that said, no, I think this will be a very much a high scoring game. Potentially, both defenses aren't very good. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, I think the Bengals will win out just because Chase and T. Higgins should have monster games.
Yeah, I would just say if you guys put their parlays in today, put the Cowboys run defense always been suspect, so definitely put in a running back touchdown parlay. Probably it's gonna be a lot of touchdown scores today at this game. We gotta recap the picks of the week. We only had three games that we picked differently. Let's see what is the record right now, Sean?
It's 6-6-1.
Even, okay.
We're going into week 14. Jacksonville at Tennessee. We both took Tennessee. That was a terrible game, by the way.
Yes, it was.
It was painful.
Yes, it was.
Terrible game. Yeah, painful. Pure pain. Jets at Miami. They actually turned out to be a better game. Game with overtime. We both took Miami. Miami, they pull it out in overtime. Atlanta and Minnesota. I took Atlanta. You took Minnesota. Minnesota obviously blew them out. Kirk Cousins.
It's that time.
Yeah, Penix is calling. I'm just saying. But I don't think they're gonna do it. New Orleans at the Giants. We both took the Saints. Saints did win that meh game. Mm-hmm. Carolina and Philadelphia. We both took Philly. Philly was able to hold on. And when Carolina's scaring a lot of teams late this, mm-hmm. this season. I'm just saying that.
You know what I noticed too, though, what they did? Remember, they was getting rid of a lot of people?
Yes.
And then Bryson kind of got his confidence back, Sean. Sometimes it's addition by subtraction because one of the persons that they got rid of on their offense is getting in trouble in Baltimore. Sometimes you just got to clean that locker room up, dog. You got to clean that locker room up. The team looking better. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Cleveland at Pittsburgh. We both took Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh did win the game. Vegas at Tampa Bay. We both took Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay did win the game. Seattle at Arizona. I took Seattle. You took Arizona. Seattle did win that game. Looks like Seattle's really going to try to win that division. But the division is going to come down to the last couple weeks, it looks like, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo at the Rams. We both took Buffalo. Rams did win the game. Josh Allen had a crazy statistical game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that MVP early prediction of Josh Allen is looking very, very strong right now.
Very, very good. Because it wasn't, and also the main reason why you said it, that agenda has been pushed from day one and it has not changed. Yeah, Josh Allen getting that MVP. They like, hey, look, Lamar can't keep taking these, dog. We gotta give it to another guy, man, you know?
Yeah. Next game, Chicago at San Francisco. We both took the Bears. I will never take the Bears. I'm not picking the Bears anymore the rest of the season. I'm done. 49ers did blow them out.
While injured.
Yeah, 49ers still fighting. Can't take that away from them. They are still fighting. Chargers at Kansas City. You, of course, took your Chargers. I took Kansas City. Kansas City did win.
We ain't got to talk about it. We can move on. We ain't got to talk about it.
And, of course, tonight's game, we both took Cincinnati, unless you want to change your pick to try to tie it up. But if not, we –
Hey, the credit part, the Cowboys best around the win. It's in Dallas. Well, no, they lose in Dallas a lot, yeah. So, I mean, because if not, I'm going to lose regardless. If not, what happens? I'm going to tie it?
Yes.
I'll take the Cowboys just for fun of it.
All right.
If I don't go down, I'm going out on my shield.
All right. You're going to go down with the ship like Titanic.
Yes, sir. We going down, baby. We going to go down. All right, Sean. Episode 25. What do you got?
Episode 25. I got two people. Okay. I got Barry Bonds.
Is another hit. Barry Bonds. I like Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. And then this one's going to be a little close to home for you, SB. Mm. I got Ben Wilson.
I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. You actually took my pick. I was going to definitely go shout out with Benji. First of all, I got to say Derrick Rose. Of course, because Derrick Rose won 25 for obvious reason. And should I show Shady some love? Yeah, I'll show Shady some love. Mm. Shady McCoy. I'll show Shady some love this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other noticeable names we got down this list. We got, you obviously said Barry Bonds, Richard Sherman. This name is going to surprise you because he just got his jersey retired. Vince Carter.
That's right. He wore 25 in
Phoenix.
Phoenix, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Henderson, Derrick Rose, Shady McCoy, George Brett, Sammy Sosa, Jim Thorpe, and Mark McGuire. I know Mark McGuire wore 25.
He did.
He did. Oh, Gail Goodrich, too. Okay.
Gail Goodrich.
And one of your favorite champions wore 25, Robert Horry. Fake saying it all. Appreciate you guys for watching. Thank you. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake Debates with SB and Sean Webb, and we are outie.